This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McClennan will spin the wheel of misfortune in about a half an hour. See who we're talking to today, what we're playing. Maybe Jerry. I don't know. I mean, Jerry's percentages, always an option. You never know. It's a busy day down in New York with the NHL and the Rangers and all the chaos down there. But we'll see what we're playing in about a half an hour. Ray will call in about 5 minutes. And we've referenced a couple of my tweets recently. Your tweet earlier today, asking who at TSN you'd want to see take out Brian Hayes if he was tussling with Al's brother.
Well, I just wanted to bring the Wilson situation into overdrive. By the way, I got Wi-Fi issues. I can't see you guys. I generally like to feed off actually like wondering what you're doing or when who's going to talk. But I wanted to bring the Wilson inside the overdrive studios. And you went Wilson on Al's brother. I wanted to know who from TSN steps in and says, Hazy B, you're not doing that.
The one tweet made me laugh out loud where it was somebody wrote in and said Rod Smith because
the guy wrote it's the one guy that hates him, Rod Smith. I was crying laughing.
Here's the truth.
another guy that could maybe take down the Hazy B. How about this one? Everybody throws in Dutch because he's jacked. Robin Black with the bink.
Oh, my God.
What about Robin Black charging through the front door and absolutely scissor-kicking your teeth out?
Well, you just listed two guys that would lay a beating on me. Like, Rod Smith is a massive, lineman-type dude who is one of the best guys in the world. He doesn't actually hate me. I think he's, I saw him when I was there last month, man. I did the walk-by, the stop-and-chat. It was great to see Rod.
No, I didn't.
We can confirm that with him. I'm sure he's there right now. I mean, we can reach out to him. He's probably still buzzing about the CFL draft last night, and we'll see what he has to say about it. But Rod would lay a beating on me. Like, that's the truth. But Robin Black is like a certified jiu-jitsu, like black belt. That dude would do so much damage. It's actually somewhat scary, how he would handle me. So that would be concerning. Those two options are not good for me. Dutchy, to your point, he gets a lot of love because he's jacked. I'm quicker than Dutch, so I don't think he'd catch me. And if he did, I'd be able to handle that. I think I could handle Dutch.
Dude,
but
Gino Retta, I bet, could do an Italian backhand slap, like just like a wrestling slap.
Yeah, Gino's schooled in a lot of things, right? That's where I think Gino would be unpredictable because he would have foreign objects. Like, he'd pull something out of his suit and, like a shiv or something.
Yeah, a little Geppetto stick.
Like a shiv or something. He'd tune you up. Like, that would be it.
Well, it seems like you can make a case for almost everyone because, like, people are writing me. I'm in this chain because I was linked into it. And I'm getting – everyone that's worked at TSN allegedly could lay a beating on me.
Andy Petrillo, I think,
could. Oh, yeah.
People were writing Steph. I mean, Steph is pretty wiry. She's gritty, too.
Yeah, Steph.
I can back her.
I think Steph could probably handle the heat anyway.
I heard Lindsay Hamilton, Kara, the two of them could beat the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah, Kate Bernas. Tessa came up a bunch. They're like, Tessa would crush you. Hedge. Some guy wrote, I grew up with Hedge. She could absolutely destroy you.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Like, what, he watched her fight in high school?
Well, that's what I
want to
know. I'm like, what's the history of Hedge? Yeah. What was she doing?
Is Hedge going to barn parties and putting people in the headlock and crushing their skulls?
She grew up in London, Ontario. You don't have to go far to find a barn party down there. Like, I have to believe there is something in the background of Hedge. There are skeletons in the closet where if they come out and they come at me, I guess I'm in big trouble.
Dude, you know who's not that tall in stature that will take a brick and smash it over your head? Ooh. Darren Dreger.
Oh, well, I mean, Saskatchewan.
Dude, he's like a pig farmer from Saskatchewan. He will crush your soul.
How many times have he told just a casual story? Who was he telling a story about the other day where the guy popped him in the nose?
Kelly Buckberger.
Yeah,
Buckberger.
Yep.
Yeah, I got a little lippy with him. And like, these are stories. He's got a million of them. I thought he told a story on our show maybe last year where when he was 12, a parent punched him in the stomach at a hockey tournament because Dregs' team won or something. Like, there was an altercation where an opposing parent got involved.
I will say the punch in the stomach is one of the most effective moves
you can possibly.
It's so gutless, but it really does diffuse the situation pretty quickly. Like, there's two regions that are within a foot of each other there. You get punched in either one, you're toast. Like, you take one in the pills or in the stomach, and it's flush.
I bet you Bobby Mack could have an old trick up his sleeve, like just acting like he's kind of a senior citizen, but grab you by the throat and throw you off the side of the road down a cliff.
Yep.
He would have some form of like a grip, you know, like SEALs and cops and all that.
That's
they have
right.
like a, you know, the Mr. Spock on the shoulder. He'd have some form of a leg lock or something that he would drop you in 2 seconds.
He's got a Brian Dennehy vibe, Tommy Boy's dad. That's like,
exactly.
You know, no, Brian Dennehy in Rambo.
Right.
Oh, that is
what he is all about.
That's Bobby Mack. He's in some fighting movie, too, where he fights. He's an old guy and he uses the top of his head to break your knuckles. That would be Bobby Mack in a full one piece as Brian Dennehy. And, that's probably another one I wouldn't win. I got to find someone I could beat. Someone I could beat Al's brother, apparently, which
you
I guess.
You could beat up Duffy, no question.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably Duffy. I'll give you that. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
No idea what you guys are talking about. It's one of those days. I'm coming in. I'm listening. I'm like, nope, I'm not catching up.
Well, how do we put this together for Ray?
Well, I put it out there, Ray. The Wilson situation happened in the Overdrive studios. Brian Hayes was manhandling Al's brother. Who from TSN would you send in for retribution and get after Hayes? And a lot of people are saying Rod Smith because he hates Hayes.
Well, and if he hates Hayes, if Rod got those hands on you, those things are meat hooks. It would be over.
Done. I have no shot against Rod. I don't profess to have a shot against Rod. What we have concluded here, Ray, is basically, anyone that works at TSN, there is someone out there that believes they would beat me up.
Ray, like, people are thinking Hedge is like a bombfire college goon.
Yeah.
Like she used to beat people up in London. Like everyone could kick Hayes' ass.
Uma Thurman from Kill Bill, that's Hedge.
And I wouldn't. Okay, after watching 2 years ago, when Marty shot her with that air gun, or 3 years ago, and she popped back up. I'm like, I had no chance of getting involved with Edge.
No.
She would clobber you, Hayes.
She
wouldn't even be close.
Yeah. Well, that would suggest she's got like core muscles because she took that right off the midsection. And you're right. I mean, she handled that like a champion.
Now, I heard you bring up Duffy. Duffy would jump on your back, and then he'd roll off because he would have pulled him. Elbow muscle or something or other.
You would give him the Panarin treatment. That's the,
right.
He would be on your back and you'd throw him down. See, Ray, you could speak to this. I think Drager is an X factor. Like, this guy has so many stories where all of a sudden, like, he was in a bad spot and had to fight his way out. That's Saskatchewan.
He's a pig farmer.
Yeah, Drags would not be, and I don't think Drags would fight fair.
No.
I think he's got like an old wrench in his pocket or something or other.
Yeah.
Like, he would concern me.
That is concerning. But anyway, go ahead.
Hayes, I even think the Quizmaster could take you down.
Let's not get crazy here. Now we're starting to – this isn't a bit anymore. Now I have to defend myself.
Now I can see it right now. The Quizmaster would smash his whiteboard right over your back.
And when you're stunned, he'd have two pencils he'd jam in your ear.
Yes, he would smash the whiteboard over your head, and then Buffalo Bills jump on top of it, Bills Mafia, and then take two pencils and gouge your eyes out.
Maybe that,
you could be right about that. And then, maybe that's the better conversation. What would be the signature move of everyone at TSN?
Because that's true.
That would be the signature move for the Quizmaster for sure.
Yeah, and the whiteboard for
the
sure.
The whiteboard.
With a marker. Like, he'd mark your face up and he'd like.
They'd be yelling stats at me the whole time about the 78 Habs and
you know, why Bobby Orr is somehow undervalued, and, you know, it'd be a wild scene. And then I'd be confused, and then he'd take advantage of that. You're probably right. I guess here I am, penciling myself in a corner, losing all these fights to everyone at TSN, including the Quizmaster. So I guess I can't beat anyone, but, you know, that would suggest that someone's coming after me. And we're not sure what to think of tonight, Ray. Like, what a circus down in – you're an alumni of the Rangers. And
so am I.
And both of you are, absolutely. You guys can represent your old team, because what a 48 hours. And it all started, whether it's a coincidence or not, because Tom Wilson decided, I'm just going to cause some chaos here at the Garden. It's crazy.
I first of all, they got tired of me in 65 games. I didn't even make a season. And they're like, yeah, to beat it. And so off I went. So alumni, I don't know. I got a jersey, I think, but it's not like I'm an illustrious member of their alumni association.
Right.
I don't know what the hell happened there. Like, it's such an enormous move for, you know, for this to happen. Why now? Why not in 2 days? Or three games, I think they got left. Unless it's tied to, you know, that statement, which was, you know, beyond bold yesterday. Like,
yeah,
why? Like, why now? It doesn't. It makes zero sense. It, whether it's the Knicks or the Rangers, or there's always something. Well, it's mostly been the Knicks, but there's always something going on there, isn't there?
They can't stop, and it always ends up at the top. Like, it comes back to Dolan, and you know, they fire the president, they fire the GM today. That statement goes out yesterday. So my initial reaction was, wow, Gorton's out and Davidson out, because I guess they issued that statement and Dolan didn't like it. But
they
then it comes
issue
out.
That statement, man.
Exactly,
you know
they didn't.
Did. Yeah.
There's no way that statement
could
come out from anyone other than the owner.
How could they not have seen it?
No, I'm sure they saw it, but I don't think
I don't know. I don't know how it all works out. You know, like, I don't know how all that internal stuff, but I'm like, man, you mean like somebody in the organization put that statement out and the GM and the president didn't see it?
Well, you know what their face
like,
was like?
I didn't even know. I don't have an answer. I'm just saying, like, it's all crazy to me.
When they saw it, it was like the movies when the guy looks at his cell phone and knows a bad guy's coming for him. That was their expression when they saw that tweet from the Rangers Twitter account, because it's a disaster.
I don't know. Go ahead, Ray.
It's hard to even make sense of it. Is that sorry, Jamie? Is that kind of what you were going to say? Like, make sense of it.
I can't. You know, there's two things that I was not floored by, but really surprised by. First and foremost, like, the league had no statement today. Like, if you know, the one of the premier original six teams, regardless of what you think of the Rangers or not, that's a team that is such a massive brand, you know, takes a shot at one of your employees, calls for his head, basically, says this is ridiculous. The league had no statement, there's no fine, there's no nothing yet. But then, you know, not even 24 hours later, the president and the GM are fired. So is there a link there, or is there not? Is that a silent statement from the league going, you do this, you're getting fined, or you're getting this, or heads roll? Like, I can't figure that out. Again, I'm not privy to the information, but the absence of a statement or a fine, because to me, I don't know whether you like it or not, that's a finable offense.
Based on history, it would suggest that. Like, if a player comes out and goes, wow, the ref was a joke tonight, he gets fined. A team coming out saying the league employee has to be fired because we didn't get it our way publicly would suggest that, yeah, that's probably a finable act. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. I couldn't care less. But history would suggest 100% you have to pay a price for that. And obviously, as of now, that hasn't happened. But and all eyes are still on the game tonight.
That's,
like, they're still... Tom Wilson's walking into the Garden right now like Mike Tyson in 1987. Like, he just, look at the scene he's caused, whether it was directly or indirectly, 48 hours of chaos with the Rangers. And,
well, you know,
it just
that
doesn't stop.
Vince McMahon walking into the...
That's what he'd be... Listen, wouldn't you?
That's it, right?
Wouldn't you, if you're Wilson, like, regardless of how you feel about him and all that, But if you're Tom Wilson, aren't you walking in there thinking, I'm the king of this county? Like, I own this town.
Give him my theory, Hazy. Give him my theory.
Go ahead.
About the game.
Go on. You've got a lot. Which theory?
Well, I just, Ray, I just think there's so much focus on where people in all of sports wouldn't be focused on a Rangers Capital game. Like, isn't there a positive where we don't want, nobody wants anything stupid to happen? Noodles was talking about at the beginning of the show. Nobody wants stupid. But I'll tell you what, everyone's talking about the NHL, and everyone's talking about the New York Rangers and Capitals tonight.
Well, I'm just making the connection, like, to the NBA. We always, well, not always, but we've talked about, like, there's always something going on. And it's not always that the guys are friends. And what that does is bring eyeballs to your sport, to your game, good or bad. You know, we're always talking, remember when the free agency stuff and this team is talking, or this guy is talking to that guy, trying to get these other guys to come, and it was like, it was chaos for a couple of months. And this, I mean, whatever other games are being played tonight, they're not really being played, as far as anyone paying attention to.
Yeah, I mean, Ray, I just wanted to, at the start of the show, I brought this up saying, I almost changed my stance on the suspension, because it would have been easy to just give him one game and avoid any potential. Like, this storyline hasn't been put to bed yet because they play tonight. You know, again, on a much grander, and hopefully never have to see this again, but were you not in the building with the Bertuzzi and Moore and all that? Like, wasn't there, and I know it's a different situation, but like, I'm just fearful that if something gets crazy tonight, this could have been avoided by just even a one gamer.
Well, I was at that game, and I don't know if people remember this, but in the first period, Matt Cook and Steve Moore fought.
Right.
And, you know, by what a lot of guys have been talking about, once that fight happens, that should be the end of it. Well, the problem was Moore won the fight. And then it was just like you could sense it just building, like you could feel it. That game was for first place. And Colorado was up like 5-0. I think Trevor Linden became the all-time leading Canucks scorer that game. And in the third period, about three guys were trying to get Moore to fight at various times, and then the Bertuzzi thing happened. You know, it's like the difference would be, Noodles, there's nobody in the building. Like,
right.
There was a, like, you could just feel it in the building. Like, it was unrest. I've never been in a building where I could feel that, like, so clearly, like we did that night.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, the fact that the Garden will not be packed tonight, because it would be. Like, it would be packed,
right,
likely anyway, but could you imagine New Yorkers showing up with everything that's happened? Panarin was the guy on the wrong side of it, who's their superstar. And Wilson is actually playing tonight. And I wonder if maybe that factored into the fine as opposed to a suspension. But it would have cooled a lot of Jets if you just suspended him for a game. He doesn't go tonight. Doesn't mean it won't carry over into the future. It likely will. At some point, someone on the Rangers will fight Tom Wilson. I put my house on the line that that'll happen at some point. May not be tonight, but at some point in the next year or two, someone's going to step up and say it's go time. And It could have been diffused tonight, but all eyes will be on them for sure. And, you know, the Rangers are out. They're officially eliminated. Now they bring in Chris Drury. He's the president and GM. I think they're in a pretty good spot, all things considered, where they are as a team. You know, they've issued a couple of notable statements over the last few years, including one 3 years ago where they said, we're basically going to tank. You know, we're bottoming out. Yeah. We suck. And we're going to...
And since then, they've got Alexi Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko, and they traded for Adam Fox. Like, they traded for Zibanejad.
Signed Panarin.
They signed Panarin. Like, it's not like Jeff Gordon has not put some pieces together here. They've got the two young goaltenders. Like, I think they're in pretty decent shape.
I think they are too. I think they ran into a tough division. They're just on the outside looking in. It's not like they had the year that Buffalo had, or, you know, Detroit or Jersey.
Wow.
You know, they're not in that position at all. And, you know, speaking of that division, Pittsburgh does it again last night. Sid is on a heater, and he's not getting
fire.
Any attention. He is
fire.
Absolutely on fire. Crosby is one of the hottest players in the league right now, and this is the most under-the-radar season for obvious reasons because of what's going on in the world. But they're atop that division, Pittsburgh, and Sid is red hot, and they're getting some goaltending.
I would say about a month ago, I read something, and I was like, really? Pittsburgh's doing that good? Like, you know, like it was one of those things where, because we never see them, or, you know, I'm not paying attention like I normally would, I had to look, and I couldn't believe it. And yeah. Since then, they've been even better. And now they just got Malkin back, which it's not going to hurt. You're adding Evgeny Malkin to your team. I never thought of Pittsburgh as being the type of team that they've proven to be.
Well, they got to get out of that division, which will not be easy. You know, they're going to play some combination of Boston, Washington, or the Islanders. So, I'm not sure how you handicap that. Like, who's the
crazy.
Favorite in that division?
I don't know. Like, are Pittsburgh's goalies good enough? I don't know, but they sure have been. Does Boston have enough veteran? Like, or enough? Do they have enough on defense? I'm not so sure. Washington, they've got these really inexperienced goalies, too. But they're all kind of like, they're all really good teams. The Islanders, that's a good team. They're going to smother somebody.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to get out of there.
The crazy part about all of this, too, is like, you think Laviolette's got enough on his plate? Like, he's got this, Kuznetsov and Samsonov, like, they're on the COVID list again. Like, it's been a gong show in Washington this year. Like, Ovi's been hurt, and he got suspended. Was that from the league for 4 games because they violated? Like, Washington hasn't
Lots
had a real
noise
clear
around
path.
It.
Well,
yeah.
and you, like, the Rangers, Panarin's personal situation there, where, you know, the political views, the D'Angelo stuff, it's not like the Rangers have had this clear path all season long, too. Like, it's weird. There's been some storylines that just haven't been hockey-related, in a traditional year this year.
All in that, and that's just in one division.
Right. Like, it's
no kidding.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, and when the dust settles, they're going to drop the puck, and it's go time, you know. And I wonder what Jim Rutherford's thinking right now as he looks at the Penguins, and I wonder if he's sniffing around a ring if they get that cup. You know, he might want that ring. I know we've had that conversation before, but I say hook him up. I mean, he was the architect of this team, but pretty good spot to be in.
I mean, with all due respect, has Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, have they done anything? I don't think they have, really. Have they? Have they even made a move?
I'm not
he's
sure.
Got canaries
they
in their room. Someone's canary watching.
I'm sitting outside. There's no canaries here. In like, oh, you must be able to hear a pin drop down the hallway.
Dude, I swear to God, it sounds like the intro to Augusta with the birds chirping.
I can assure you, as I look at a bike for a 4-year-old and a lawnmower that a 3-year-old pushes around with the bubbles, I'm not at Augusta.
Dude, I think these headphones, they're ultra sensitive, because all three of us, I'll say to these guys, I can hear somebody's kid, and they're like, there's no way in hell you can hear that. That kid is 3 levels away from here. And I'm like, I can hear the kid. I can hear the kid. I can hear the kid. It sounds like that canary is, like, on your lap.
Okay, hang on. Why a canary?
I don't
know. Is
that
the only bird you know? Who's got a canary?
It's a coal mine. Yeah, I didn't pick up on it at first, but ever since it was brought to my attention via text, that Ray is.
Oh, great. Now you got Hayes. He's going to drive this thing right into the ditch here
pretty
soon.
That's all I can hear right now.
I guarantee if Cammy took a pic of you, you've got binoculars and you're bird watching.
Is that a tree?
Yeah, and that beige bucket hat.
You got the patches on the elbows.
Oh, yeah.
There's something going on out there, and we need to know about it. And
outstanding.
What are you gonna do, man? It sounds like it's a nice day out there, at least. I mean, that's a good
sign. I should be teeing it up today, but I just didn't happen today.
Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, I'm like, that's a bad thing to say. I'm sorry.
We've stopped even asking. Like now, like government officials come out and people are just so defeated. They're like, whatever. Let us know, I guess, whenever it makes sense for you personally to make the call that we could play golf or tennis or basketball or throw a ball in the park. Crazy, man. But what are you going to do? It's all good. The birds are
chirping. We're going to watch the Capitals and the Rangers. That's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do tonight. All right, buddy, we'll let you get back to whatever you're doing out there. And
I just got to finish feeding the birds. We got 20 in the house.
Pet detective. Opens the door and 80 birds flies out of his front door.
Ace Ventura out in Vancouver. Hockey analyst. All right, buddy. Good luck out there. There's Ray Ferraro.
God, the birds. It was like a soothing thing, but I'm like, he's talking about hockey and fighting and Tom Wilson, and all I hear is, I was like, that bird is on his lap right now.
I didn't notice it until you brought it to my attention. Like, and now I could hear it every time he was trying to speak. But you're right. Yeah. Like, Ace Ventura, did he have like dog food in the ashtray? Like, here,
remember Ace Ventura opened his door and there was 30 birds flying around and dogs.
Well, and when he and Courtney Cox are hooking up, the whole house is going nuts. Every animal is going crazy. And we got to get that audio. Get that, and we'll play some, and we'll sync it in with some old Ray takes. Maybe the awesome. Respect, disrespect with the Ace Ventura animal sounds in the background.
Awesome. And that was Ray Ventura. Ray Ventura. Pet detective.
Pet detective. Pet analyst, pet hockey analyst, brought to you by Maple Toyota. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. All right, Steve Phillips still to come, and we'll get into this golf news as well. We get the Wells Fargo, great field. I got to make some picks. I'm on the clock this week. What am I doing, a four-pack?
You picked four guys last week.
Okay,
I'm telling you, to win this thing, you can't. I know both of our routines, they're somewhat predictable. You got to sniff at a different level. You got to get a guy that's not really up there.
You think so?
Dude, we're pretty knowledgeable in golf. We haven't picked one winner, except you picked Berger.
I picked the hamburger when we were at Pebble Beach, and it was basically a corn fairy.
But that's not exactly impressive.
No, there was no one in the tournament, more or less. You know, Spieth, you had Spieth. We actually were both in contention there down the stretch.
But one tournament of all of them, that's not very good.
No, it's not. It's not good. Okay, so we'll get to that coming up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
Yes, it is. We do this every Wednesday at this time. We spin the wheel, see what we're playing. We're hoping for Jerry. We feel like if he can show us the level of respect that we're looking for here on a very busy day at the league office, that would really mean a lot to us.
Yeah.
So I'm holding out hope. And I have a feeling, even though he chirps us all the time, he actually likes us. He likes coming on this show. So I'm putting money on Jerry. That's what I'm calling right now. Because I think that'd be a feel-good story. So let's spin the wheel and see what we're playing and see who we hear from this week.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I really do.
Well, that's disappointing. That's very disappointing, but maybe that actually is the true sign of Jerry and his feelings towards this show, that it just is not a priority for him. So what are you going to do? It happens.
Appropriate, though.
It really is. The day you want him to come on, of course he's not going to come on.
No, I mean this level of concern being appropriate. There's all kinds of angles that...
There's a lot of different ways we can look at this. All right, there's a lot of things going on in the sports world. So we're playing role play level of concern. We go around the table. We are assigned someone or something, and it's either a pine on the patio, which means no concern at all, or Nick Cage and leaving Las Vegas, which means there's a lot of concern. Or you can go with the middle ground. You know, we do that a lot as well. We'll start with you, O. You are Green Bay Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. Level of concern, you might lose your job just to satisfy Aaron Rodgers.
I would think I'm at least a 12-pack because when you're talking about a star player with that much clout in a quarterback-driven league where they mean so much and they were so close, and he might have a couple years, although I think the relationship is further, like it's beyond repair. Maybe I'm a 6-pack. I'm a 6-pack that people, really? This might come back on me saying this was my fault and I shouldn't have drafted Love and I did other things and other things that led to this. I'm a 6-pack, but I don't think Rodgers is coming back, so I ultimately don't think it's going to come down to that.
Yeah, that's I'd be concerned, but I can't picture a team firing the GM, regardless of how popular the player is, powerful the player is, because he made a choice to draft somebody for the future, you know, or whatever.
Like, what kind of guy? Do you really want a guy around that he doesn't want in the organization because of they drafted a future quarterback when this guy's 37 years old?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I will say this, was that quarterback that they drafted, was he the can't-miss guy they had to have?
Well, and that, it comes down to evaluation, and they're unique. They're more unique than any other team. They're publicly owned. You know, if this was Jerry Jones at the top, I don't know how the reaction would be. But I don't see it coming all the way down to the point where Gutekunst loses his gig. But he might have lost his reputation. You know, like if Rodgers is out, he could be in big trouble. Noodles, you are Tom Wilson. You are Tom Wilson. Level of concern, you will have to deal with someone, quote-unquote, on the Rangers tonight.
Pint on the patio?
Like not even.
Like, I was hoping I had, like, some Nick Cage where it's like, yeah,
nothing.
The Rangers have called up three mutants, you know, like, and he's less than a pint on the patio.
Yeah, I half think it's of a puff of a weed vape.
it's almost nothing because we talked about it earlier. Like, Wilson's not even the toughest guy on his own team, the guys who have his back. Like, if Big Z decides that he's a little owly this afternoon, like,
right.
You know, it just – I don't think Tom Wilson fears retribution.
Big Z could send out a vibe tonight in warm-up saying, hey,
yeah, knock
who's
it
the
off.
Captain? Who's the captain? Do they even have one, the Rangers?
I don't think they do.
He could call over Kreider and say, anybody touches Wilson, any stupid stuff, they're dealing with me, so good luck. Mm-hmm. And then let's drop the puck. That'll quiet things down.
Yeah, I think it's a pint on the patio. I don't think he's concerned whatsoever.
No, I don't think he would be either. I would wonder what it would be like if it was a team, if the Rangers were going to the playoffs and there was a chance they were going to meet at some point, maybe that would take on a different complexion. But, right. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, Tom Wilson is a pretty tough dude. And no one was doing anything to him the other night. Although there's some big boys on the Rangers. I will say that. You look through their roster. Like, there's some guys with some meat and some size. But I'm not sure anything's going to come of it. Brian Hayes, you are, or I am, Pascal Siakam. Level of concern, you simply do not have the clutch gene and you cannot close out games. I think I have to play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Last night,
you know, clutch gene, you either got it or you don't, dude.
And Siakam just doesn't have it. You know, like, there have been too many times this year where he has been the sole reason or one of the primary reasons for why they couldn't get it done late. Whether it's missing a wide open shot, whether it's turning a ball over. Last night, he runs into a charge. Paul George took it. Credit to Paul George. He played great in the fourth quarter. But it was a tight game. The game was on the line, and Siakam runs into another charge and turns the ball over. It's happened far too many times this year. Like, far too many times. This is no longer a hypothetical. What could Pascal do with this? And he's not a 21- or 22-year-old kid. And he's not someone who was doing it in high school or college. Like, we know about his history and how he was a late bloomer and he came to the game late. This is not a guy that you can expect to close games with in the biggest moments. He can do it occasionally. I'm not suggesting he won't get a shot off or hit a shot. But it's become abundantly clear this year that Pascal Siakam is not the guy you draw plays for late in the game because he's probably not going to get it done. And, you know, it happened again last night. Like, you get into the final 2 or 3 minutes and Siakam in a tight game, it feels like he freezes up or makes wrong decisions. And you can't have it. So I got to say I'm Nick Cage on that one for Pascal. You are PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan. level of concern this Premier Golf League is going to steal some of your talent?
Less than a pint on the patio. A few weeks back, apparently, there was this Super League forming, mm-hmm. okay? The Super League in soccer. 2 days later, do you know what happened to the Super League?
It collapsed.
So these guys that are forming this Premier Golf League, I think there's a lot of smoke involved. And a lot of the players, they might be doing the politically correct thing. They're saying, we actually like the tour stops we got here. We have a great life. But we'll have to ask Daniel Rappaport, who is the guy that they're looking for? Who is the guy that thinks he can cash in that's not making enough on the PGA Tour? Or is it Corn Ferry Tour guys? But I am less than a pint on the patio that the big dogs like a John Rahm, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, they make $15 million on tour plus $80 million in endorsements. Why do they need to go do that?
Well, here's the issue that this Premier Golf League has is I don't dispute you can find some guys because, like, I was watching the Golf Channel this morning. They brought up a great point. Older guys like a Justin Rose, he's probably looking at that saying, man, you give me $30 million, I'm never making that again playing golf. I'll take it. But you can't have a league built around Justin Rose. This
Dude,
thing doesn't
also
exist.
There's the cool guy factor involved. Like, you think Leon Draisaitl, do you think he likes playing in the National Hockey League? Do you think he likes cruising into Los Angeles and playing on a Saturday night? I think he likes that.
Of course.
So he makes $8 million. Do you think if the KHL said to him, we'll give you $12 million to come and play here per year, I think he's going to say, go stuff it. I like the National League. The guys like it on tour.
Right. But is it different, the money you're talking, 8 to 12, or is
Nobody
it
knows,
8 to 30?
Jamie, because there's right. so much smoke being blown. Nobody knows. It's like John Rahm came out and said it. I told my advisors, do not bring this to my attention unless anything's in paper or on paper and it's serious because it's just pie in the sky until then.
But even
that's
that,
exactly what it is.
Even then, you need all the players have to connect together and leave together because right. that league won't exist. Let's say DeChambeau goes, I'm in, and then no one else follows him. Then the league collapses. There is no league.
What if DeChambeau, but as soon as they, Monahan came out and said, you want to go and play there, you lose your tour card.
But that's the point.
So if DeChambeau goes there, what is he going to play in the Saudi Arabia Open? No more U.S. Open.
No more Masters.
Do you think he wants to risk that?
I don't believe he will. Although, again, as I said yesterday, I'm not convinced that the Masters will, they don't care what the PGA Tour has to say. They're not affiliated with the tour. The Masters doesn't mean that they're going to shut down invitations. But,
I'm pretty sure if you lost your tour card, you can't go just play in the Masters.
As far as I know, the Masters, they make up their own rule book. Like, they
well,
do whatever
we'll
they want.
We'll have to ask somebody above our
We'll
heads.
Ask Rappaport about that. But, okay, right. So you're less than a pint on the patio. Ultimately, that's what it matters.
Yeah.
Noodles, moving on here. You are George Springer. Level of concern, this injury is going to linger all year, and you are never going to feel 100%.
Play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
I don't want that to be the case. I'm hoping not. You know, it hasn't been a banner start just based on, you know, injured and come back and tired and rest and all of that. We're not getting the clear story, which, you know, they don't have to give us the clear story. I just hope for his sake at some point he gets healthy and he can get into a groove and onto a role and play. That's the only thing I would say, because right now I am concerned that we might see this, you know, play a little bit and then tired and not sure what the process is. And like you mentioned at the start of the show, Montoyo, like it's almost like he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Listening to him, like his explanation again last night, it's like, I'm not sure how we're supposed to interpret anything. Like, no, he's not going on the IL. He's, you know, he's fine. He just can't run, but he can hit. Okay, then why yeah. couldn't he pinch it? Well, because, you know, like he always kind of dances himself into a corner in terms of the explanation.
Right.
And at this point, you know, it's not up to Montoyo if he's going to go on the IL. Springer's going to determine that, Atkins, Shapiro, the medical staff. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if he did, you know, because it could be retroactive. He came out of the game on Sunday. I guess it could start as of Monday. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Springer ends up on the IL, and then Montoyo's got to explain that, you know,
right.
and he's going around in circles, and ultimately he doesn't have an answer. But I'm with you on that. I'm Nick Cage in it. I'm a little bit concerned. This one, I think I'm going Cage too. I am Travis Dermott of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Level of concern: Rasmus Sandin has moved ahead of you on the depth chart. I'm not going to go quite to Nick Cage, but I am having a good time. You know, like I'm like a 12-pack.
12 and 3.
Yeah, shots around the room for the boys. Like, everyone's having a good time, but it's starting to get to a point where we're beyond a good time, and it's like maybe we should have jumped in a cab about an hour ago.
Because I don't think there's – I think you have to take that back a little bit, because with injuries, he could just be playing. It's not like Sandin's come up and, like, taken his job. You know
but
what I mean?
If Bogosian's healthy, I think he's playing. Yeah, and the top four are playing. Clear. You're right, of course, with injuries. But let's assume health. I would be concerned if I was Dermott. I wouldn't get to a point where I believed I'm 100% out. But Rasmus Sandin's on the first power play. He looks good. The coach is pumping his tires. He knows he's the number one prospect.
He's playing regardless.
Well, if he's playing regardless,
he deserves to be.
Then Dermott's out, right? Like, I would suggest if Bogosian comes back and is healthy and can play, he's going to play. I'd be surprised if that weren't the case. And the top four clearly is not going to be touched. So right. If Sandin has – if it's got to a point where it's concluded he's playing, Dermott is the odd man out already. I mean, things can change based on injury. And maybe Bogosian will not be back at 100%. You know, maybe that won't be the case. But if and when he does return, I think they'll reinsert him into the lineup. And they're not going 11-7 come playoff time. They've got too much depth up front. Like, it's 12-6, so someone's sitting – All right, this one will go around the table. We can all take a stab at this one, okay? You can kick start this party, then Noodles, then I'll hit on this. Level of concern. You are old guys in Seattle that are on Tinder. Level of concern, Bill Gates is about to take over the game.
Play it.
You can never
play it for every Cougar bar out there.
Ask me to stop drinking.
Snow leopards, cougars, all of it. They're all gone. They're going right to his house, and you have no shot. He should just put out like a Bill Gates signal, like a bat signal when he wants to go to the Cougar bar, and then everybody can go home because they know they don't have a shot.
Yeah, Bill Gates, man. He's changing the game, dude. He's on the scene after 27 years and about $130 billion in the bank. Although he's lawyering up, man. You read that? He's got like multiple teams of lawyers and – they're going to figure out the fine print on this one. That's
trust
for sure.
Me when I tell you this, they're not going to do squat. She gets half.
Well, I read today that like when they announced it, he signed over like $1.8 billion worth of stocks immediately to his estranged wife. So that's not a bad little parting gift.
Yeah, but
that's $1.8 billion.
That's cushion money for them.
Right.
No, couch cushion money. Yeah, she wants $65 billion.
Oh, yeah, she's getting that, too. Well, no prenup or anything.
That's right.
Like that's happening.
Even Bezos, when he went through his divorce, like, and my understanding, it was quite amicable because she could have dug in, but she was like, you started this company and you've brought me along the ride. Like, sounds like they are a little bit. This other one. You know, if it gets ugly first, before it becomes amicable, then that's
she
when
filed.
Lawyers dig in, right?
Melinda Gates was the one that filed.
Yeah, which is tough. I mean, you never want to see that.
No, I'm of course not. But it's a public story, right? Like Bill Gates, the one of the richest men in the world after 27 years.
He's going to do okay for himself.
It's going to be a spike. That's why I'm going to actually say I'm a pint on the patio, because this guy's going to have his own app. He's not on Tinder, man. Bill Gates... I don't know what this guy's going to do. I don't know what world he's living in. It's not one I'm familiar with.
There is Tinder for stars.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. Somebody told me it once. There's like you have to apply to be on it. You have to be at a certain either, recognizable threshold or financial threshold. It's like, another level. We will never be.
I know what you're talking about. Like A-list celebrity.
Right, right.
Which, again, it's kind of weird. Like, anyway, because I read a story today that Ben Affleck was on one of these sites and, I guess connected with a woman, and then she unfollowed him and because she thought it was a fake account, and he found her somewhere online and reached out and said, "Why'd you unfollow me? I'm actually Ben Affleck." And we connected.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. I guess so. So
she thought it was like the catfishing story.
Yeah, she absolutely. Wouldn't you? Like if you were in a single game and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Scarlett Johansson just connected with. There's no way Scarlett Jo just swipe right.
Yeah. Like, unless she calls you and you hear, hi, it's Scarlett Johansson.
It's a catfishing. It's the last thing you want.
One of our very close friends of the show just sent me a note. Apparently it's called Raya. R-A-Y-A.
Okay, check it out. Let's get Al's brother on Raya. We have to make that work. He's a celebrity now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Danny Rappaport on the golf scene and Steve Phillips on the Jays tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, so I got to make my picks for the Wells Fargo. We'll do that in the next hour. Daniel Rappaport will join us, and Steve Phillips coming up. Still no word on the Jays lineup tonight that I've seen anyway, and I do not expect to see George Springer in the lineup, but we'll see. The Raptors are off tonight. They're traveling back home. They will play Washington tomorrow night, and they lost last night. They had that game. They're up in the first, up at the half. You know, it's right there in the fourth quarter. They had multiple leads in the fourth, and you just knew it was going to get away from them. And credit to your boy Paul George. He had himself a night. He played great in the fourth quarter. And it's just another loss for the Raptors and likely puts them out of contention. But tomorrow night will really be the deciding factor. Of
Dude, it's game over.
It's over,
man.
I understand. But if the Wizards definitely win tomorrow, it's like, see you later. Right. Steve Phillips coming up. Daniel Rappaport back into the Rangers-Caps game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Acceptedated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FISRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.